It's 22 minutes past two in town, 17.5 degrees. Well, are supply chain leaders looking to move business away from China? It's certainly been sort of forefront in discussion of late, has it not? And joining us to explain what is happening and what could happen in the future is Mr. Rob O'Byrne, supply chain expert and CEO of consulting firm Logistic Bureau. Good afternoon to you, Rob.
Hi, Jenny. Good to talk to you.
You too. This is something I think that has been mooted, I guess, in the press since the pandemic, of course. You know, the situation between China and Australia and possibly the USA has been obviously a little bit strained. And we start looking to perhaps if we have to start buying and, you know, other product from other seas and other overseas and other countries. How close are we for looking at this seriously?
Sadly to say, probably not that close. And let me explain why. I mean, it would seem to be a great solution, wouldn't it? Let's bring a lot more manufacturing back on shore, more jobs in Australia, and you know, lots of great benefits. But if we look at historically why we import so much of our finished goods, our manufacturing as a percentage of GDP in Australia has been dropping for the last 50 years, and it's dropped from 30% of GDP down to about 6%. And a lot of that has obviously been driven by cheaper manufacturing offshore, and particularly, you know, for mass market goods. So when you're looking at things like clothing, electronic goods, countries like China have the scale, they have a lower labor cost, they've got lower material costs. It is just so hard to compete with them.
Yeah.
In fact, what Australian retailers have done is said, for us to compete, we have to get our products made there. Now, of course, that's come back to bite us because, you know, resupply from some of these countries has been a terrible problem for a lot of businesses over the last few months, and that's where we've seen a few shortages and so on. Now the question is, how do we make those supply chains more robust and more sustainable? One of the questions, obviously, is should we make more in Australia? Now, on the positive side, of course, the things that we're not running out of are food and essentials. So, you know, most of that is produced locally, which is great. So, no more panic buying at the supermarkets, please.
Please.
We've got plenty of food and toilet tissue, as we found out in March. but it's the manufactured goods. And if we're to compete on a global stage with those, because of our higher labour costs and higher overheads here, we've got to be smarter about it.
Mm.
And this is where, you know, your listeners may have come across Industry 4.0, or it's often called the Fourth Industrial Revolution, where manufacturing is really getting a makeover with robotics and artificial intelligence and data analytics and these sorts of things. So can we apply that to making clothing?
Mm.
Can we apply that to making electronic goods? Perhaps not. But I think what the opportunity is for Australia is in niche markets, we can start to compete. So, you know, maybe in the domestic market, we can really start to claw back some market share for very high quality goods, particularly goods that are required very quickly, that need a fast response.
Okay, what would you suggest they could be?
Well, I saw a fantastic, fascinating article in the news a few weeks back with, it was a company in Adelaide, I think, that were 3D printing propellers, really high-tech propellers for ships, very high tolerance, and these were needed urgently, you know, so they could get a much higher quality product to their customer faster than buying these things offshore.
Good.
So, you know, so I mean, what other things could we really excel at? You know, it's a question, I think, really, of let's try to add value to the things that we have naturally in Australia, you know, particularly in WA. You know, our economy has been so long reliant on, you know, digging Australia out of the ground and sending it to Australia. Can we actually value add some of that product here? So, you know, people are saying, can we make the mobile phone batteries here because we send the raw materials overseas, you know, potentially, If you look in the food sector, you know, we do some great value-adding stuff with food. We've just got to be a little bit more imaginative, I think.
Yeah, the world's changed, obviously. You know, the whole thing with manufacturing in our country here, which we'd love to see, it's ideal, but the whole thing is we as human beings have gotten used to the fact that we can go into a big retail store and buy a kettle for $20 or, a toaster for $20. So to have a total change of thinking for consumers would be one of the most difficult things, I think, for us to have to accept. So if we do have a niche market in Australia for some sort of product that we can export and people around the world look to us for the basic items that you mentioned, electronics, home goods, that sort of thing, and clothing, where could we go to get manufactured, do you think?
So what a lot of our clients have been doing at Logistics Bureau, of course, is to look around at alternative sourcing. So let me give you an example. One of our major clients in Vietnam at the beginning of the pandemic found that some critical spare parts were being supplied from China. And of course, they had done the right thing. They'd made sure that they had secondary suppliers. And then, you know, the CEOs kind of said, well, who's the secondary supplier? And they were also in China.
Okay.
So, you know, the smart companies are saying, if we're buying from China now, let's make sure that we're also getting some supply maybe from India or Bangladesh or Africa even. Egypt is being touted as a great place to get garments made now. So it's about dual sourcing and just hedging your bets a little bit.
I'm just wondering, are we looking at the worst-case scenario here, that the trade between China and Australia may come to an abrupt end or slow down, that we do have to have a plan B?
Look, I think that's highly unlikely. We do depend on each other a lot.
Yeah.
But I think sensible companies are saying, let's have another option up our sleeve. Just in case things go downhill.
Plan B,
And then, of course, you know, what we're experiencing now is other supply chain issues, and particularly in Victoria, where distribution centres are being restricted on the number of staff that they can have. You know, the ports are being limited on the number of staff. So actually getting product imported into the country and into the distribution centres is a bit of a challenge. But hopefully that's not going to lead to any shortages. I wouldn't want people to think of that.
No, it is an interesting prospect. Like I said, the world, like you know, of course, and everyone does, the world has definitely changed. We have to look at things in a very different way to plan ahead and always have plan B. You know, we to be relying on a source of, you know, product to come into the country and one only source is probably being a little bit idealistic.
I think it is, and we've been too reliant on it.
Yeah.
You know, smart businesses were diversifying a few years ago. Mainly, I would have to say, with a lot of companies, because labour costs was going up on the East Coast in China, and they were starting to look for cheaper sourcing countries. All of this, of course, is driven by the consumer.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, I was talking to someone the other day and said, look, you know, a lot of our garments are coming out of China and Bangladesh. It's great to want to support Australia and support local industry, and that's fantastic, but are you willing to pay three times as much for your child's school uniform?
That's the bottom line. That is the bottom line, because we all want Australia to be doing very well, but are people prepared to, or can they afford to? You know, we used to have to. There's no two ways about it. We used to have had to. And I remember what the campaign started, I think it was Kmart or something. They're the leaders in all of this Chinese product, I think, coming in, home goods and so on. I remember the CEO in a commercial saying, you can buy $10 jeans. And we thought, what? We used to be paying $150 or something.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah.
I always use the example of, I forget what the price is now, but I can go and buy three pairs of business socks at Kmart for $10 or something.
Yeah.
You know, they've got to absorb all the shipping costs from China and the warehousing cost and the transport cost. They are produced at such a low price, it's very, very hard to compete. So, and the opportunity for us is to be innovative, to really look at niche markets where we can deliver really good value products, premium products.
Well, you mentioned India as a prime candidate, and would they be, then surely would be in a position where they could do electronics and home goods, should they not?
Oh, yes. I mean, India has a huge manufacturing base. And in fact, I've been talking to people in India over the last few months. And, some of your listeners are probably aware that a large proportion of pharmaceutical products come out of India. They have very high quality factories there producing a lot of the generic drugs particularly. So, you know, electronics, cars, you know, they're manufacturing all of those products. Other countries like Thailand have a very a booming car manufacturing market. So there's lots of different places around the world that have great capability.
Why haven't we been taking advantage of these other countries with their manufacturing up until now then?
Do you know, I think it comes down to the dollar in the end. If I can get something for, you know, 10% cheaper out of China, I'm buying millions of them a week.
Yeah.
I really need to do that. But of course, that's what people are questioning now. Let's accept a slightly higher cost, but reduce the risk.
But, you know, all of us are questioning the salaries that these people earn in these countries and the dire situations and lives that they have. You know, if we have a conscience, sometimes we should be buying things a bit dearer.
Yes. I mean, that is certainly a very strong argument. And a couple of years ago, we had, you know, the exposure of sweatshops in Bangladesh and so on. There are much tighter controls on all of this now. And there's organizations like the International Justice Mission, which follows up on overseas manufacturing plants to check on, you know, the conditions and so on. That still goes on. There is no doubt about it. But what you'll find now is that particularly amongst very large businesses here in Australia, they are ultra careful about that.
That's good.
They're very, very stringent. And
good to hear.
You know, of course, the labour costs are much lower overseas. That's why they're sourcing product from there. But comparatively, you know, in their markets, you know, you should be finding that they're relatively well paid.
Yeah, that's good. Look, you're involved in you know, all the situations we're just talking about with corporate social responsibility, right? What does that do?
Well, corporate social responsibility is an extremely broad agenda.
Yeah.
Ultimately, for me, it means that the business has got to be doing the right thing for consumers, the right thing for workers in the supply chain, the right thing for the environment. And you'll find most responsible businesses do that. Here in Logistics Bureau, as an example, someone was asking me about that, and we triple carbon offset all of our air travel. So we work out how much carbon dioxide we're producing on a flight, and we plant three times the number of trees to absorb.
Oh, that's excellent.
And we also give a proportion of our income to charities all over the world. So, you know, we're trying to do the right thing all the time. And a lot of our big corporates in Australia are really good at that.
Well, that's a business with a conscience, which is a fantastic thing to hear. We don't hear enough about that. But you've also founded and fund a social enterprise in the Philippines called Virtual Done Well.
Oh, okay. Where did you find out about that?
We know all about you. We're coming for you, Rob.
The detectives have been working. Yeah, so that's actually based in an area of the Philippines where it's really hard to get good work. And we founded that about 8-9 years ago. And I guess in simplistic terms, you would call it a call centre. They have a lot of bad press, but this organisation provides admin support for small business owners. So small business owners who are struggling a little bit, can't afford, you know, local support, they can get offshore support from this organisation. So we provide good jobs for people who find it really hard to get good jobs. We look after them. And again, a proportion of our income there goes to the local community, and we have feeding programs and education programs and so on. That's the stuff that makes you feel good.
Well, exactly, and I think it's a fantastic thing what you're doing, that you were doing this as well. Well, we'll watch with great interest to see, you know, whether the price of items at the Kmarts and Targets do go up, or whether we're going to stick with... It won't happen overnight, will it?
Absolutely not. No. You are not going to change a juggernaut like Kmart or Target or Bunnings overnight from sourcing in a particular way. This is something that will happen very gradually and very, very carefully.
It would affect their business, that's for certain. Lovely to speak to you, Rob. Thank you very much indeed for your time.
Thanks, Jenny.
Thank you. Mr. Rob O'Byrne, he's a supply chain expert, CEO of consulting firm Logistics Bureau.